check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd. Only on Paramount Plus.
No, we're not going to try to give you any financial advice, but we started the show yesterday talking stocks up. So let's talk some stocks down. But before we get into those, we're not saying it's up or it's down for Greg Berhalter, the manager of the U.S. men's national team. But I'd like to get your temperature on where his stock is at the moment coming off of the Nations League win. Charlie, what do you think?
For me, it's stock up, given where they were heading into the Nations League. They stumbled into it with against Trinidad and Tobago. You had Serginho Dest getting a red card in that last Trinidad game, so you didn't have him available for the semifinals. And against Jamaica, it was poor because of how Jamaica played. And Greg Berhalter made the necessary substitutions, the adjustments in the second half. Mm. Yes, be it late.
I couldn't disagree more.
Well,
thank you.
That's for you. And then in the final, the right tactical adjustments in the second half again. So for me, yeah, could he have been better in terms of you know, making switches in the first game, given how Jamaica were going to play? Sure. But I think he wins the Nations League, so you win another trophy. The team started to click again against Mexico, so I have no issues.
For me, it's a push.
Gio Reyna could have been a little bit more advanced in the second game.
We knew certain limits that Berhalter has. We saw it against Jamaica and Mexico.
When you say certain limits, elaborate on that.
Inability to adapt, inability to change a game when a certain game plan is presented from the opposition. The U.S. won against Jamaica despite Berhalter. Had it not been for an own goal, they would have been out. The changes didn't work until 95 minutes, and it was an own goal that got the U.S. back into the game. The complexion of the game didn't really change by the subs. There was a different momentum.
I couldn't disagree more
was a different
Tyler
momentum.
Adams and, Tyler Adams and Gio Reyna didn't change the game.
But the game is, of course, the U.S. was better, but not good enough to deserve to win that game. An own goal was the difference. Did they change the game? Does the rhythm of the game change? Man, absolutely it
does. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but the U.S. didn't deserve to equalize that game.
Okay, wait, so Nico, stock up or stock down then? I'm getting stock down vibes.
He won, but it's...
So stock was never... If you had to say, is it going up or down?
I don't want to unchanged.
Is it unchanged for you?
It's a push.
It's there.
I'm going to decide in the Copa America.
Of course, every time you step on the sidelines as the U.S. men's national team manager, you are judged on your performances. If he did not win this Nations League,
right,
they lost to Jamaica.
But that's very resultist. That's very resultist.
That's what this job is.
Well, absolutely, but I'm trying to look at the forms.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to look at the forms in which the United States achieved what they achieved.
Give Berhalter credit for the decisions he made going into that second half, bringing in the subs. That did make a difference. You have to give him credit for that. I think what you're talking about is in an overall sense.
Yeah, but
it's
it
not
was
a
an
difference.
Overall that was the difference in the end.
Sure.
So what?
The game was all right, but
I'm not saying to give him credit for the win. Give him credit for making the changes he made. They they were
anybody makes changes, you're the United States. You bring in Gio Reyna, of course it's going to make a difference. You bring in Tyler Adams, he's your best player.
But he did do that.
Of course it's going to make a difference.
Give him credit for it.
Yeah, but
it
I could have chose what to put. You have Gio Reyna and Tyler Adams on the
bench. The question is not Nico stock up, stock down. It's Berhalter stock up, stock down. I'm saying it's a push only because...
I agree with
the push. Can we all say, what was the best game the U.S. have played in the last 2 to 3 years? What would you say? The men's national team.
Either the England game at the World Cup or the 2-0 win in Cincinnati in World Cup qualifiers.
I would probably say it was more of the Nations League. The Nations League. You could pick either one of the games from the Nations League last year. Mm-hmm. And Berhalter wasn't at the helm. So for me, the thing that I saw in that competition that I haven't seen since is a certain freedom and fun and relaxation when they're playing, a more relationism style, something where the players almost feel like they're connected, where they're having fun out there, where they're making passes, where they're not weighed down by decision-making, which is what I saw again in this Nations League. So if you're asking me, stock up, stock down, it can't be down. He won. He won. Regardless of how that Jamaican
that I agree
game went,
with.
He won. Can I say stock up? No, because I still have the same questions I've had for a while now.
We were an own goal away from this being, from this but segment you, being stocked down across
the
board.
You were a penalty kick away from Argentina not winning the World Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could say that in any
absolutely.
Situation.
Yeah. Those are the fine lines.
You're a handball away from U.S. beating Germany
and Emi Martinez making an insane save.
But those are the fine lines of this sport, and where you're comparing a World Cup final to a Nations League semifinal, in which in the World Cup final, Argentina played sensational and versus the U.S. playing pretty poor for their standard.
U.S. Germany quarterfinal, yeah. Two World Cups.
They were absolutely. Absolutely, and those are the fine margins.
Anywhere.
But the reality is, it wasn't a good game coached by Berhalter. Everything is when he has a team in a low block, and I compare it to how Argentina played against Costa Rica, and obviously it's two different qualities and class of players. But I see what we have, and I expect that the United States can play somewhat like Argentina did against Costa Rica. There was dynamism. There was movement off the ball. There were exploding runs into the box. There were shift of play quickly versus the United States against Jamaica in these passing patterns that almost become so obsessive and routine that there's no breaking of any dynamic, of any gear shifts up or gear shifts down in order to unsettle opponents. It's
Did you see it against Mexico?
Against Mexico, mm-hmm. against Mexico.
Why do you think you saw it against a better opponent?
But not. I after the first half had Tyler Adams not scored the goal. I don't think the United States was playing an extraordinary half.
They certainly didn't have momentum until he scored.
But why do you think
it is that way against a better opponent versus a?
Because it's more expansive. Because Mexico offered you a little bit more space, but I still don't believe that it was. It was a sensational half of football. Playing like that, you're not gonna beat high caliber opponents.
I don't think anyone said sensational.
I don't. You beat Mexico, and you will take that. I still think that there needs to be room for improvement. I don't think the stock
100%. We're talking about right? the expectation is a World Cup. The expectation is a right. Copa America, right? This is the standard. You get out of the group. If not first place, man, you push Uruguay for second place. And now you play Brazil, Colombia, who you've just had two friendlies against. And you see where the chips lie after that type of matchup. That's what we're talking about. But in anticipation of that competition, you want to see the U.S. taking steps forward. I think in the Nations League, you look at what Greg did, and that was burying the hatchet with Gio officially, publicly, and in the locker room, and that he is your number 10. There's no question.
Okay.
He's playing. He's your number 10. Now the question is, where does Yunus Musa fit in? And he had to play Nations League while he was practicing Ramadan, so he was nowhere near his 100%
fitness. Those are the dilemmas that he's going to have going into Copa America, going into the friendlies, that's what he's going to have to resolve.
100%. What's the deal
stock
up top?
Going back to stock up, stock down, it feels like stock up, it is a very positive connotation. He won the Nations League. This team took a step forward. I don't know how big that step was, because this is perhaps one of the worst Mexicos I remember.
Easily.
Worst Mexico. They've made, the United States have made something as significant as beating Mexico. The United States' quality now and the lack of quality in Mexico have made this matchup and this result look routine when it should be more significant. And so I don't know how far forward that evolution, that stride is for the U.S.
So I don't think we learned anything new.
I would agree. And I think that this conversation is one we will continue having ahead of Copa America, which is going to be the next really big and bigger test for the U.S. compared to the Nations League. And I think everyone's going to hope that the lessons learned there, especially when it comes to certain positions and players like a Gio Reyna, how those things change this team from the jump in a competition like Copa America. Let's talk some stock down.
I think we're all in agreement.
I think we are all in agreement.
It's nuance that we're talking about, like we're gauging
thin margins of the game. Mm-hmm. It's the same way that the U.S. won that game against Jamaica, and that's how we grade these managers, right?
Yep. Mm.
Stock down, Mexico. You mentioned it, Nico. This is one of the worst teams, if not the worst, that we've seen of Mexico. Who's stock down with this squad? You know, who is it for you?
Both Lozanos, Jimmy Lozano and Chucky Lozano. Let me start by Jimmy. There was a honeymoon phase, without a shadow of a doubt, with Jimmy Lozano ever since he took over the Mexican national team post the Coca and that meltdown at Nations League from 9 months ago. They won the Gold Cup. They hadn't faced the United States, and he, in his press conference previous to the game, had said that he knew he was going to be judged based on the result of the U.S., which wasn't great. And then in the press conference post-game, he said, you know, the difference in quality is that his statement was that the difference in quality with the U.S. is that they have players in Europe and we don't. And the quality of their player, they're getting minutes and they're seeing the field in Europe. I return the question back to Jaime Lozano. What about your European players? Where were they? Orbelín Pineda and Santi Jiménez. Mm. On the bench.
Yeah.
It's not coherent. It's not coherent. And what did Santi Jiménez do when he came into the game? He changed the complexion of Mexico.
Both of them did.
Yeah, and Orbelín Pineda was sensational. They both started on the bench. And then Chucky Lozano, sadly, he's not in the finest of forms right now for someone who is a fan favorite and continues to be a fan favorite. Remember, they were like 3 years ago, he was so compared to Pulisic. Who had the best player in CONCACAF?
100%.
Chucky Lozano or Christian Pulisic.
And not
Pulisic.
Only that, Diego Lainez was the next, supposed to be the and next and, up and coming and
off the map.
Two players Chucky, that have gone in very different directions.
If you look at his five-year stock, you could see how its peak was way on the left of that graph, and now it's...
He's an NFT.
And to build off of you, my stock down is the Mexican center backs, and Johan Vasquez and Cesar Montes. I was shocked to see that Montes was in the best 11 for the Nations League, because those two are so far off of it. When you think of Claudio Suarez and Rafa Marquez and Carlos Salcedo, who could play left back and center back, Hector Moreno, they always had a center back with substance, quality, that gave the team balance. These two lack pace. They're late in their challenges. They're poor with distribution. I mean, they occasionally can play a switch ball, but give any center back time and they can play a switch ball, a long diagonal. I was shocked at the quality of defending from this Mexican national team. To go with, obviously, Lozano, Chucky Lozano up top, who's not playing with any confidence. It is a very poor Mexican side, because if you do play expansive, and sometimes we've seen Mexico control the tempo with their midfielders, but the center backs, they set the standard and they don't have any.
Yeah. Makes tough you times where their for development Mexico. Is.
For me, I'm going to say it's the stock is just down just a tiny bit for me. It's Miles Robinson. I thought he had an okay game against Jamaica, but I didn't see him take the reign the way I expected. A big move. Well, I think a lot of people were expecting a big move to Europe. He's answered the question as to why he chose Cincinnati over Europe, and I kind of agree with his decision. But I think when it comes to the center backs, we're seeing Tim Ream reach really the real end of his career at some point, and it seems to be coming soon. And I want to see that partnership get solidified.
Is it?
I mean, no one can know for sure, but I'm pretty sure Tim Ream's not your starting center back come World Cup. Maybe Copa America.
I'm not sure.
You think we're going to have a 38-year-old or 37-year-old?
Look at Pepe.
Okay. Different player, but yes, you are right. There is a possibility.
Absolutely.
There's a possibility.
If Tim Ream has the right complement next to him,
yeah,
Maybe.
For sure. But I think when we're looking at the center back partnership and what that pairing is, I don't think we know exactly today. I think Chris Richards has solidified his position as a center back on this team. I really like him. I really like what he brings to the national team makeup. I like his energy out on the pitch. Miles Robinson, I don't think he did that. I don't think he solidified his position. So for me, it may not even be really much a stock down, but I was hoping for more. I was hoping for a stock up, and I don't think it rose to the level.
This seemed like a big opportunity for Miles Robinson to really put his name in a more established, bold-faced
font. I feel it was going to be difficult against Jamaica because he wasn't getting attacked. He literally had two one-on-ones, one that he didn't get there, that Cephas beat him.
His
distribution, even though he had 89% passing, that was just back and forth.
It felt from what Berhalter was telling us that he was going to get benched regardless facing Mexico, because Tim Ream was going to be the center back and Chris Richards is
and,
the locker.
And then to build off of him, Joe Scally had a stock down for me just because, you know, one, Jamaica is sitting back a little bit more and he's playing against Lee, who eventually got the goal on that throw-in. It was a set play, and you could make the argument, was it his? The communication wasn't there.
He did get fooled on that decoy run.
More importantly, it's his distribution and being on the ball. You see, compared to Sergiño Dest, there's a huge gap in that quality. So his stock went, unfortunately, down, I think, after that performance against Jamaica.
Being involved in that first goal, regardless of how much of it was his fault or not, not a good look. And then for Miles Robinson, it's important to note, too, he's still only a year removed from that Achilles injury. So maybe he's not in his top form yet coming off of that. But we will see. Copa America is going to be hopefully a time when more of those questions do get answered for the U.S.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.